Peace be with you. Friends, I'm going to do something today that I've rarely done in a homily, and that is to talk about the priesthood. And I'm doing it because all three readings today really are talking about, generally speaking, leadership in the church, but even more specifically about priesthood. Namely, what it should be, but also, sadly, what it too often is. You know, the Bible is so clear-eyed about humanity, about our failings and about our difficulties. And this applies, of course, to priests, to religious leadership. Jesus could not be clearer in his critique of much of the religious leadership of his own time. And I think as we're going through, as I've often called it, the worst period in American Catholic Church history, that's centered around a scandal dealing with the clergy. There's a lot that we can take from these readings. And I know it's tough, and I'm addressing my brother priest in a certain way, but I'm addressing myself the whole time, obviously. I'm under the same judgment. Our first reading is taken from a biblical book that we rarely read in the liturgy. Actually, it's the very last book of the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Malachi. Malachi is a prophet around the post-exilic period. So the Israelites have come back from Babylonian exile. They're kind of reestablishing their reestablishing themselves in their homeland. And Malachi is one of the people now who speaks to them. Well, in the reading for today, he channels God as God speaks out of his kingly majesty. Listen now. "And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you do not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, I will send a curse upon you, and of your blessing I will make a curse." Tough stuff. Those are strong words coming from the Lord himself. And they're addressed to priests who have gone bad. Why? What's the fundamental reason why priests go bad in ancient times and today? When they stop giving glory to God. So what does that mean? It means when God is no longer the clear and unambiguous center of their lives. See, to give glory to God, that means, as we heard last week, to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind. It means that you're in the stance of worship and adoration. You glorify God. God is what matters most. God's what matters first and last. Your life is about God, and everything else falls into place around that. That's what it means to give glory to God. Priests go bad when, as Malachi says here, they stop giving glory to God's name. When that happens, they are cursed, and I'll come back to that. But let's pose that question. I mean, why would priests ever abandon this path? Why would they stop giving glory to God? Well, lots of reasons. I mean, priests are sinners like the rest of the humanity. Ambition. Maybe the cultivation of a priest's career has become more important to him than preaching the Word of God. Maybe fear of rejection. Perhaps the priest becomes much more interested in appealing to his people than preaching what God wants him to. And this is, you know, we all face this sort of thing. We won't do the hard but important task because we're afraid of being rejected, offending people. Maybe good old-fashioned laziness. Priests who just stop studying, stop praying, stop paying attention to God. That can happen. You know, oh yeah, I'm paying tribute to God, but sort of abstractly. Does it show up, though, in your daily life that you're giving honor and glory to God? Finally, perhaps egotism. The indulgence of one's own desires becomes the dominant concern of one's life. You know, that can happen to priests as well as anybody else. But for all these reasons, priests can stop giving glory to God, and that's when trouble starts. What does God promise to such priests? A curse. God's curses in the Bible are never, you know, arbitrary expressions of divine pique. I mean, don't think of it that way. Rather, God allows those who wander from his path to feel the effects of that wandering. Now, I don't want to be too melodramatic here, but this sex abuse scandal we've been going through now for the past 20 years, it's hard not to see what's happened to certain priests these past 20 years as anything but a curse. Following from this fundamental problem of not giving God the glory. And more to it, has this conduced toward a kind of curse for the wider church? Absolutely. Again, not God being arbitrary, but God allowing the church to feel the effects of sin. Malachi, channeling the words of the Lord again, says, listen, you've turned aside from the way and have caused many to falter. Ancient words, yeah, but applicable today, you bet. Almost every day on my internet forums, I hear from people who have left the church because of the clergy sex abuse scandal. Has all this brought the priesthood into disrepute? Absolutely. Listen again to Malachi. I therefore have made you contemptible and base before all the people. Now again, I don't mean to be melodramatic here, but I think it's a valid application. Priest is going through a dark time. Yes. Is it a kind of curse from God? Yeah. God allowing us to feel the effects of having wandered from the right path. Is it a curse that has effects way beyond the priesthood to the wider church and the wider world? Absolutely. You know, is all the opprobrium that priests have received deserved? Absolutely not. But is some of it understandable? Be hard to deny it, I think. I think at times we fall into this easy deism that imagines God as a distant and only mildly interested figure. So the church is off doing its thing and God, I guess, is up in his heaven, but not all that interested. But see, that's just not a biblical vision. The biblical vision is of a God who is intensely interested in the world that he's made, who is the governor of the world, who's providential over it. The God who has a very special concern for his chosen people Israel and for the new Israel that is the church. So what's God doing during this time of scandal? Well, Malachi has a good deal to tell us, I think. God is cursing. God is allowing darkness to be visited. Where's this coming from? It's coming from this refusal to give God the glory. And so a call to myself, to my brother priests, and really to everybody in the church. That's what it's about. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. The rest will fall into place. You stop doing that, trouble comes. Now, look at our gospel for today, and we find, again, another pretty strong criticism of religious leadership. Jesus going, as is his wont, after the Pharisees. He puts his finger on two essential faults of these kind of pious legalists of his own time. Listen now to the first one. You tie up heavy burdens hard to carry and lay them on people's shoulders, but do not lift a finger to move them. Powerful, difficult words 2,000 years ago, and still powerful, difficult, and challenging words today. Absolutely. See, those who know the law of God can use it not to liberate, not to direct people, but precisely to oppress. They can point out with great accuracy and articulation the wicked things that people are doing because they know the divine law. But they're doing it in order to humiliate those people or to bring them down. Now, you know, friends, I'm not just whistling Dixie here. I mean, you know that this takes place. Paul knew about it. Read Paul to the Romans. You'll find this, where the law itself is being used as a kind of weapon. The idea, of course, is to announce the law of God and then to be willing to walk with people so as to enable them to fulfill that law. Cardinal George, many years ago, came out to Mundelein Seminary, where I teach, and he addressed the students and made exactly this point. He said, a lot of you are very good, and it's helpful, thank God for it, at articulating the moral law. But you must never simply drop the moral law on people like a bomb. You know, he said, you must be willing, as you give them the law, to stand with them and to walk with them as you help them to live it out. Otherwise, you're in this stance of the Pharisees, tying up heavy burdens, laying them on people's shoulders, but not lifting a finger to move them. That's another way, friends, that priests go bad. The second problem that Jesus points to is this Pharisaical tendency to draw attention to one's own piety. So he famously says, you widen your phylacteries and lengthen your tassels. Phylacteries, of course, were those little boxes containing scripture verses that pious Jews in his time, as in ours, will wear on their foreheads and their arms. Outer signs of inner conviction. And, of course, nothing in the world wrong with that. But outward signs that draw attention to themselves in order to aggrandize the egos of those who wear them, that's the problem. And so he goes on, you love seats of honor in synagogues, places of honor at banquets. Same problem. Religious status as a means of inflating the ego. The whole point of religion is to tame the ego. So, again, there we see a kind of self-absorption or a sort of ambitious preoccupation with the ego is a way that priests go bad. Okay, there are some of the bad news. I know I've taken up too much time to give you a full sense of the good news, but you find it in our second reading, that beautiful, again, reading from Paul to the Thessalonians. And he's talking to his community, a community that he clearly loved. And we've got in this passage a beautiful portrait of priestly life and ministry. Listen now as Paul speaks. We were gentle among you as a nursing mother cares for her children. See, what qualifies a good mother above all but a willingness to give her life to and for her children? And he uses this image of nursing at the breast. It's a beautiful image because the nourishment that the mother gives at the breast is a symbol of the act of giving herself away on behalf of her children. So Paul says, we were determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our very selves as well. See, brother priests, all Christians listening to me, this is how it works. That's what makes priesthood great. You give honor and glory to God first. When you do that, you love all those whom God loves. And therefore, you become a vehicle of the divine grace to the world. You give your whole self to your people. And I might suggest, friends, that's the key to the renewal of the priesthood. Maybe especially those listening to me right now, younger people who might be thinking about the priesthood. This is your moment. It's a dark time, yes, we've been passing through. But this is your moment to respond to this call, to be willing to give your life to your people the way a mother gives her life to her children. That's the way the priesthood is going to be renewed. And may God bless all of you.